Our scripture today comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 18. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 18. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all nations, including the Amorites who live in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be here at this place, to be among your people, to receive a message from your word, to worship you. Lord, be with us. Help us to hear what you would have to hear. But Lord, enable us to understand how to give of ourselves to you and what that means, especially during this Advent season when you have given all that you have through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, being the second Sunday of Advent, we focus on the theme of peace. I'm wondering, and I'm not going to ask you to give me numbers, but I'm wondering if I ask you to give me a number on a scale of 1 to 10, how peaceful do you feel right now? How much at peace are you? What would you say? Because you see, God desires us to know peace, to experience peace. It's a gift given to us. But it's one that we must claim. We talk about world peace. We dream of world peace. But God desires us to know what it's like to have peace today. I'm going to refer throughout the message, I think probably several times, as what I call present day peace. Last week we talked about Christmas past. We talked about our past and how if we're not careful we can live in the past or we can be defined by our past. But the present is something I want to focus on today. And sometimes we're living in such a way that we're always striving for what's next, that we're not fully living in the moment God has given us right now. And God has given each one of us a gift in the present. And I want to focus, there's so much we can focus on in terms of God's gift of the present, but today, being the second Sunday of Advent, I want to talk about the peace of present day and how we can have that. What things today do we worship other than God? That's the big question that I have for today. What things today do we worship other than God? And I believe these are things that rob us of our peace. And I'm going to use three words, and the basic words, although not the entire message, the basic words I first heard used by a man named Mike Breen. I don't necessarily think they were original with him. I don't know for sure where they came from, but I learned them through teachings from him. But the first of these, in terms of what things do we worship today other than God, can be described or defined by our
appetites. Our appetites, our physical desires. Now, being the time of year it is, and I wasn't so sure, particularly as I was going over my message this morning, I was extremely convicted, having just had the Woodland Christmas dinner last night. I was a little bit convicted by the fact that food could be an issue, because I was sitting beside a deacon who is here today and told him how I had been behaving, I had been doing what, and he talked about, yeah, Greg, you know, when we're eating like we're supposed to, when our bodies are being taken care of the way we're supposed to, we can shed a few pounds, we feel better, and things are good. He told me this after I just ate three desserts. Now, I justified that. I'd been doing really well. I justified that because one of those desserts was made by Trent Umbarger. And it was a really good banana pudding. And Trent just needed to know how much I appreciated it, so I let him see me having two helpings of it. I was sacrificing. But I don't know that God always looks at it that way. But it's not just about, appetite is not just about food. Appetite also describes our consumerism, which is also very much a part of what we experience today. And you know, I bet quite a few people say, you know, I haven't been to the stores nearly as much as I have in the past. How much online shopping did you do? Because it's the same thing. And we have this consumerism. And things become important. And maybe it's not even the things for us. Maybe we buy a bunch of things for other people. And somehow or another, that's supposed to reflect the love and care that we have. And I'm not saying it can't, but when we do that, instead of really investing ourselves and taking time, it robs us from a gift that God's given us. And that's why so often, when it comes to shopping for Christmas presents, it's anything but peaceful. Have you ever gone shopping and it just drives you crazy? Not to know what to get, what to find, how to get the right gift, or what you wanted isn't there. It's not supposed to be that way. And then the things that we can always talk about that seem to be defined by appetites at times is just anything that we do to just try to bring pleasure to ourselves, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, whatever it may be. And those are things that we fulfill our own needs. And these are things that can become gods. We don't see them that way. The scripture that we just read, it talked about Joshua was telling the Israelite people, you need to decide, as for me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord. But look, you're not doing that. You're being caught up in the ways of the people here where you live. But you need to remember what happened. What God's done for you. And they said, oh yes, we remember. You know how many times God's people have gone back and forth between saying, yes, we're going to worship God, and then choosing the wrong path? We may not worship the gods of the Amorites, but we're worshiping the gods of the culture in which we live, which is exactly what Joshua was talking to them about. So we need to recognize that these gods are things that we don't often put names to. We need to know that food, consumerism, drugs, sexuality that's inappropriate. Sexuality, by the way, sex is a gift from God. It's a huge gift. It's a great blessing. But we take it and turn it into something God never intended, and that's when it becomes a god in and of itself. So, that's the first one. And you can recognize that taking the focus off of blessings that we do have among each other and placing it on something like this is putting a focus on something that will never bring us the satisfaction we're looking for in the midst of these appetites. And by the way, it's not easy to overcome. So I'm going to talk about this, come back around to it at the end. But if you're saying, yes, maybe this is some of the things I deal with. Yes, I know this. I need to. If you just acknowledge it and go on, you're going to be just like what the people of God were when Joshua or whoever it was would convict them. They say, yes, we're sorry. We're going to do better. If you say, yes, I'm sorry. I'm going to do better and walk back out and think it's all taken care of, you're going to fall right back into it again because it's not that easy. It takes accountability. It takes conviction. It takes work. It sounds simple to correct, but it's not. But let's move on to the second. That was appetite. So our appetites can become a god. The second one is affirmation. A desire for affirmation can become the god for which we live our lives. We may be looking for acceptance. And it's very important that we have acceptance. And that we may be yearning for acceptance from our family. We may be yearning for acceptance from friends. We may be yearning for acceptance from coworkers or people we hang out with at school. But this can become a god. It can be what guides and directs our lives. Our self-worth begins to be wrapped up in other people's expectations. You understand that? Our importance, who we are, what we do gets to be wrapped up in what other people expect of us. And sometimes they expect good things. Maybe it's a teacher. And so you want to please that teacher and you want to do the right things. Now that's appropriate in terms of helping you to be the best student you can be in your learning. But when that becomes so important that that defines you and you lose connection with God being the one who created you and who understands you and where your identity is to be, that's when that affirmation, that desire for affirmation becomes a god. And this type of thing, that affirmation and giving in to other people's expectations is going to lead you into trying to be someone you're not. Because other people may have expectations, but they're not going to know. And a lot of times they aren't even trying to claim it. You're trying to earn it. They aren't necessarily going to know who God wants you to be, but if their expectations are what's guiding you, it's going to lead you away from who God calls you to be. Can you see how this God of the present, this little g God of the present, leads down a lonely road of destruction? Because not only are you never going to meet everybody else's expectations, you're going to disappoint yourself as well. And then finally, there's ambition. Ambition involves our ego. And we say it's good to have ambition. You want ambitious people. You want people that will take initiative. And so in a way, it can be good. And I don't take anything away from that. But carried too far and being made into a god, this is what it looks like. Through your ego, you can fall into a comparison trap. And this is something I've talked about before. We want to be more successful than our predecessors or our competitors. We want the bottom line to look better this year than what it did last year. We don't want to let one little opportunity for success slip by for fear of losing the upper hand or losing the advantage. We always have to grasp onto anything that's there that's going to pull us up to the next rung. You don't mean to, but you're likely to compromise morals and turn your back on some people in need of your care, your love, and your attention for the sake of a buck or for the sake of power or for the sake of prestige. Maybe even convincing yourself that it's going to be better for them in the long run. My family will be better off if I just get to this place. I'll be able to provide more for them. We'll be in a better place. And all the time, your ambitious God is keeping you from being the husband, the mother, the wife that God desires you to be in the present. So you see how we get back to the understanding of what it means to live in the present. Sometimes we get so focused in the present of working to get something else, we don't embrace the blessings, the peace that God, because if we're striving for the future, peace is usually not something that we're experiencing in the present. And it's one of the things God desires us to have now. So you see how the self-centered God of the present can be when ambition is your God? We need to experience God's definition of success, not the world's definition. What does God's definition of success look like in your family, in your life, in your workplace? Now, some people like to take notes. I don't know how many of you are, But I want you to, if you've got a bulletin like this, I want you to take it out. And if you have a pen, you may want to write down. There are four dots here. The first three were appetite, and then affirmation, and then ambition. If you decided to fill them in, that's what those three would be. The fourth one, this is one whether you write it or down or not, I want everyone to think about. We're connecting this time of God's message with a play that our youth and children are going to be doing next week. With the small groups, we have this centered around Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And so I bring this little snippet in. Scrooge, in the story of Christmas Carol, let me ask you a quick question. Did he like the visits he had from Marley's ghost? Were they pleasant for him? Were they beneficial for him? Okay. That's where I want to go with this. Scrooge didn't like it. And if you really do this, if you take this seriously, you're probably not going to like this either. But that fourth dot, and if you write it, maybe you even want to write it in code so nobody else knows, or maybe you just think about it in your head. But I want you to think about or write down which one of these three is your present day God. And if you can do it, even get more specific. And my guess is each and every one of us, if you're honest, one of these three is something that God's just saying, I really want you to pay a little more attention to this. Is it that you're giving in to things that please you? And if so, what is that? And maybe write that down or think about it. Be serious about it. Or maybe you know that your desire and the way you live and what seems to be important to you is based on what other people think. Who are some of these people and why do they have such a grasp on you? And is there something God wants you to do about this? It doesn't make them a bad person. It may not be their problem at all. In fact, I'm not at all saying that. They may be great people, and they may desire for great things to be done in your life, but if you're seeking their affirmation more than anything in your life right now, that's a God, the wrong God. Or maybe it's ambition, and you're just striving for success, and you need for you just that's what you're living your life for right now. And it's going to lead you to disappointment. So which of those three, and maybe even under that, be specific and think about that. And I want you to be able to take that to God. And so as we do that, this leads to, in here if you're looking at it, experiencing the birth of Jesus today. So we're again talking about present day. How are you saying, Greg, okay, I'm seeing what you're saying. And maybe there is one of these, either appetite, affirmation, ambition. Maybe one of these is a little bit of an issue for me. And maybe this is specifically where it is. You said you don't want me to just leave here and say, okay, I'll get better. So give me a tool. How am I going to work on it? Glad you asked. Experiencing the birth of Jesus today, God desires us to do this. The first thing is, I believe that God has the power to help us to turn away from our present day gods, whatever they may be. God has the power to do that, and we need to recognize that God needs to help us do it. We can't do it by ourselves. And I think, again, that's again why the people of God struggle so much going back and forth. They felt that they had the ability. And we can look at it and we know things, ways that we fall short and what we do wrong. And we say, all right, all we got to do is correct that. And that may sound great. But how many of you, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hands in here. How many of you have ever tried to change your eating habits, but then you realized it was so hard you fell right back into a routine you had been doing before? Raise your hand if that's happened. You just proved my point. And that's just about eating. So these issues, the things that we would acknowledge are probably even more difficult than eating the right thing. We can't do it just because of our sheer will to want to. God needs to be a part of it. We've got to understand that. And God is all powerful. He has that ability. So here are my suggestions. In terms of acknowledging God's power, first, Take an honest look at your life. What is it that God wants? What is it that God desires? What is it that God wants you to change? What other direction does God want you to go? And just be honest with that. And you may need a day or a week to wrestle with that. But that's the first step. Then second, ask God to reveal that direction to you specifically. And this is where you probably even need to write some things down, because you can come up with something in your mind, you think about it, but then you forget it. But there needs to be something probably written out that you say, this is a commitment that I'm making. And then make a specific plan. What is it going to be? And you need to come up with that on your own. But if, for example, it was going to be that you were going to eat more healthy, maybe mine would be that I'm not going to eat but one dessert this week, instead of one dessert each meal. But come up with a specific plan. And then, we are part of a body of Christ. Find someone to share that with, to hold you accountable, to say, yes, I care enough about you to help you through this. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I know it's not going to be easy for you. And I'm not just going to pat you on the back every time you slip up and say, it'll be okay. I'm going to be there to try to help you get to the next step you want to be. Find some people in your life who are willing to do that for you. And then finally, act on it. Do it. Follow through. That's what happens when we realize God's power is there and we embrace it. So then this leads to my final point. If we're to experience the birth of Jesus today, we acknowledge God's power, but then we're also to be open to God's peace, no matter how unpeaceful our lives may seem at the moment. I know some of your situations, but a lot of you I don't. Most of us, if we're really honest, have some things going on in our lives right now that create anything but peace. Those are our situations. And as long as we live on this earth, those situations are going to be there. They may change. You may move from a situation you've got now to another one, but they're going to continue to be situations of unrest, of things that are not peaceful. But we can live in such a way that we are still at peace because God gives us that opportunity. There was another person who was living in the midst of chaos at the first Christmas. He had so much going on. He had never experienced a day like this before, ever in his career. It was the innkeeper. And he had so many people wanting a place, and there was no way he had all the rooms. He had already allowed people to get in more rooms than they should have. And yes, he wanted more money, but there was no way he could fit any more in, even for this young couple that came pregnant, expecting a baby. He didn't have any room for them, except for a dirty old stable. A lot of times, people want to give the innkeeper a hard time. Why couldn't he make room? Why couldn't he give him his room? Why couldn't he move some of those other people that weren't as worthy and give Jesus the room a king deserved? He was in the midst of chaos. He didn't make room as we think he should have sometimes. At least he found a stable. So my question to you, in the midst of this life, in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of the struggles, please, please make room for Christ. Not just by coming to church. Not just by singing a Christmas carol. Not just by putting out a manger scene. But make room for Christ in your life where he desires to be. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and we're going to close. But there's something that I've thought of that I admit is a little cheesy, but it's helpful to me, and so I'm going to share it with you. I don't know much Spanish. I know a little bit. So somebody does, can correct me. Doesn't más mean more in Spanish? Okay, I know this is just me making something up, but Christmas is spelled Christ más. So maybe, at least for myself, I don't know about for anybody else in here, but just maybe one of the things I need to do is put more of Christ in Christmas this year. And Christ is already there. I'm a preacher. I do all the things I'm supposed to. But is it possible, is it just possible that there's some ways that God wants to be more a part, Christ wants to be more a part of my life this season in a way that's going to carry on long past December 25th? I think it probably is. This is a time of invitation, and I'm going to be inviting you as the praise team is about to play. That you can sing and continue to worship, but if there's a decision you need to make, if there's a God other than the one true God in your life, come to this altar and lay it down. Give it up and say, God, I don't want it anymore, and I know I need your power to be able to put it there because I do want more of you in my life. I want to experience the peace that I know can be there that you've said is a part of the reason that your son came. I'm tired of living in turmoil. Give it up. I'd love to, if you desire, I'd love to talk and pray with you about that myself as well, whether it's now or sometime later this week, whatever it may be. But don't leave without following through on the invitation God has given you. Lord, you're great and awesome and wonderful God. You're the one true God. Yet we, like your people who lived in the land of the Amorites, can be distracted by a culture that's not of you. And you've told us to live in this world, but not of it. And I just ask right now that you would help us to recognize that difference. And that we will embrace you in such a way that others that are around us are drawn to you and away from those things that keep them from being the people that you created each and every one of us to be. This prayer we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
In Christ alone. In Christ alone.